must, like men and angels, like heaven and earth, all conspire in the glory of God. As there is but one God and Father of us all, whose glory gives light and life to everything that lives, whose presence fills all places, whose power supports all beings, whose providence ruleth all events, so everything that lives, whether in heaven or earth, whether they be thrones or principalities, men or angels, they must all, with one spirit, live wholly to the praise and glory of this one God and Father of them all. Angels as angels in their heavenly ministrations, but men as men, women as women, bishops as bishops, priests as priests, and deacons as deacons, some with things spiritual and some with things temporal, offering to God the daily sacrifice of a reasonable life, wise actions, purity of heart, and heavenly affections. This is the common business of all persons in this world. It is not left to any women in the world to trifle away their time in the follies and impertinences of a fashionable life, nor to any men to resign themselves up to worldly cares and concerns. It is not left to the rich to gratify their passions in the indulgences and pride of life, nor to the poor to vex and torment their hearts with the poverty of their state. But men and women, rich and poor, must, with bishops and priests, walk before God in the same wise and holy spirit, in the same denial of all vain tempers, and in the same discipline and care of their souls, not only because they have all the same rational nature and are servants of the same God, but because they all want the same holiness to make them fit for the same happiness to which they are all called. It is therefore absolutely necessary for all Christians, whether men or women, to consider themselves as persons that are devoted to holiness, and so order their common ways of life by such rules of reason and piety as may turn it into continual service unto Almighty God. Now, to make our labor or employment an acceptable service unto God, we must carry it on with the same spirit and temper that is required in giving of alms or any work of piety. For if, whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, we must do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. If we are to use this world as if we used it not, if we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, Romans 12:1, if we are to live by faith and not by sight, and to have our conversation in heaven, 2 Corinthians 7, Philippians 3:20, then it is necessary that the common way of our life in every state be made to glorify God by such tempers as makes our prayers and adorations acceptable to Him. For if we are worldly or earthly minded in our employments, if they are carried on with vain desires and covetous tempers, only to satisfy ourselves, we can no more be said to live to the glory of God than gluttons and drunkards can be said to eat and drink to the glory of God. As the glory of God is one and the same thing, so whatever we do suitable to it must be done with one and the same spirit. That same state and temper of mind which makes our alms and devotions acceptable must also make our labor or employment a proper offering unto God. If a man labors to be rich and pursues his business, that he may raise himself to a state of figure and glory in the world, he is no longer serving God in his employment. He is acting under other masters and has no more title to a reward from God than he that gives alms that he may be seen, or praise that he may be heard of men. For vain and earthly desires are no more allowable in our employments than in our alms and devotions. For these tempers of worldly pride and vainglory are not only evil when they mix with our good works, but they have the same evil nature and make us odious to God when they enter into the common business of our employment. If it were allowable to indulge covetous or vain passions in our worldly employments, it would then be allowable to be vainglorious in our devotions. But as our alms and devotions are not an acceptable service, but when they proceed from a heart truly devoted to God, so our common employment cannot be reckoned a service to Him, but when it is performed with the same temper and piety of heart. Most of the employments of life are in their own nature lawful, and all those that are so may be made a substantial part of our duty to God, if we engage in them only so far and for such ends as are suitable to beings that are to live above the world all the time that they live in the world. This is the only measure of our application to any worldly business. Let it be what it will, where it will. It must have no more of our hands, our hearts, or our time than is consistent with a hearty, daily, careful preparation of ourselves for another life. For as all Christians, as such, have renounced this world to prepare themselves by daily devotion and universal holiness for an eternal state of quite another nature, they must look upon worldly employments as upon worldly wants and bodily infirmities, things not to be desired but only to be endured and suffered till death and the resurrection have carried us to an eternal state of real happiness. Now he that does not look at the things of this life in this degree of littleness cannot be said either to feel or believe the greatest truths of Christianity. For if he thinks anything great or important in human business, can he be said to feel or believe those scriptures which represent this life and the greatest things of life as bubbles, vapors, dreams, and shadows? If he thinks figure and show and worldly glory to be any proper happiness of a Christian, how can he be said to feel or believe this doctrine? Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Luke 6:22. For surely if there was any real happiness in figure and show and worldly glory, if these things deserved our thoughts and care, it could not be matter of the highest joy when we are torn from them by persecutions and sufferings. If therefore a man will so live as to show that he feels and believes the most fundamental doctrines of Christianity, he must live above the world. This is the temper that must enable him to do the business of life, and yet live wholly unto God, and to go through some worldly employment with a heavenly mind. And it is as necessary that people live in their employments with this temper, as it is necessary that their employment itself be lawful. The husbandman that tilleth the ground is employed in an honest business that is necessary in life and very capable of being made an acceptable service unto God. But if he labors and toils not to serve any reasonable ends of life, but in order to have his plow made of silver and to have his horses harnessed in gold, the honesty of his employment is lost as to him, and his labor becomes his folly. A tradesman may justly think that it is agreeable to the will of God for him to sell such things as are innocent and useful in life, such as help both himself and others to a reasonable support and enable them to assist those that want to be assisted. But if instead of this he trades only with regard to himself, without any other rule than that of his own temper, if it be his chief end in it to grow rich, that he may live in figure and indulgence, and to be able to retire from business to idleness and luxury, his trade, as to him, loses all its innocency, and is so far from being an acceptable service to God, that it is only a more plausible course of covetousness, self-love, and ambition. For such a one turns the necessities of employment into pride and covetousness, just as the sot and epicure turn the necessities of eating and drinking into gluttony and drunkenness. Now he that is up early and late, that sweats and labors for these ends, that he may be some time or other rich, and live in pleasure and indulgence, lives no more to the glory of God than he that plays and games for the same ends. For though there is a great difference between trading and gaming, yet most of that difference is lost when men once trade with the same desires and tempers and for the same ends that others game. Charity and fine dressing are things very different. But if men give alms for the same reasons that others dress fine, only to be seen and admired, charity is then but like the vanity of fine clothes. In like manner, if the same motives make some people painful and industrious in their trades, which make others constant at gaming, such pains are but like the pains of gaming. Note 9. Painful. Taking pains. Calidus. Note 10. Calidus. Hot. Fervent in business. Calidus has traded above 30 years in the greatest city of the kingdom. He has been so many years constantly increasing his trade and his fortune. Every hour of the day is with him an hour of business, and though he eats and drinks very heartily, yet every meal seems to be in a hurry, and he would say grace if he had time. Calidus ends every day at the tavern, but has not leisure to be there till near 9 o'clock. He is always forced to drink a good hearty glass to drive thoughts of business out of his head and make his spirits drowsy enough for sleep. He does business all the time that he is rising and has settled several matters before he can get to his counting room. His prayers are a short ejaculation or two, which he never misses in stormy, tempestuous weather because he has always something or other at sea. Calidus will tell you with great pleasure that he has been in this hurry for so many years and that must have killed him long ago, but that it has been a rule with him to get out of the town every Saturday and make the Sunday a day of quiet and good refreshment in the country. He is now so rich that he would leave off his business and amuse his old age with building and furnishing a fine house in the country, but that he is afraid he should grow melancholy if he was to quit his business. He will tell you with great gravity that it is a dangerous thing for a man that has been used to get money ever to leave it off. If thoughts of religion happen at any time to steal into his head, Calidus contents himself with thinking that he never was a friend to heretics and infidels, that he has always been civil to the minister of his parish and very often given something to the charity schools. Now this way of life is at such a distance from all the doctrine and discipline of Christianity that no one can live in it through ignorance or frailty. Calidus can no more imagine that he is born again of the Spirit, St. John 3, that he is in Christ a new creature, that he lives here as a stranger and a pilgrim, 1 Peter 2:11, setting his affections on things above and laying up treasures in heaven. Colossians 3:1. He can no more imagine this than he can think that he has been all his life an apostle, working miracles and preaching the gospel. It must also be owned that the generality of trading people, especially in great towns, are too much like Calidus. You see them all the week buried in business, unable to think of anything else, and then spending the Sunday in idleness and refreshment, in wandering into the country, in such visits and jovial meetings as make it often the worst day of the week. Now they do not live thus because they cannot support themselves with less care and application to business, but they live thus because they want to grow rich in their trades and to maintain their families in some such figure and degree of finery, as a reasonable Christian life has no occasion for. Take away but this temper, and then people of all trades will find themselves at leisure to live every day like Christians, to be careful of every duty of the gospel, to live in a visible course of religion, and be every day strict observers both of private and public prayer. Now the only way to do this is for people to consider their trade as something that they are obliged to devote to the glory of God, something that they are to do only in such a manner as they may make it a duty to Him. Nothing can be right in business that is not under these rules. The apostle commands servants to be obedient to their masters in singleness of heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as unto the Lord and not to men. Ephesians 6, 5, Colossians 3, 22 and 23. This passage sufficiently shows that all Christians are to live wholly unto God in every state and condition, doing the work of their common calling in such a manner and for such ends as to make it a part of their devotion or service to God. For certainly, if poor slaves are not to comply with their business as men pleasers, if they are to look wholly unto God in all their actions and serve in singleness of heart as unto the Lord, surely men of other employments and conditions must be as much obliged to go through their business with the same singleness of heart, not as pleasing the vanity of their own minds, not as gratifying their own selfish worldly passions, but as the servants of God in all that they have to do. For surely no one will say that a slave is to devote his state of life unto God and make the will of God the sole rule and end of his service, but that a tradesman need not act with the same spirit of devotion in his business. For this is as absurd as to make it necessary for one man to be more just or faithful than another. It is therefore absolutely certain that no Christian is to enter any farther into business, nor for any other ends than such as he can in singleness of heart offer unto God as a reasonable service. For the Son of God has redeemed us for this only end, that we should, by a life of reason and piety, live to the glory of God. This is the only rule and measure for every order and state of life. Without this rule, the most lawful employment becomes a sinful state of life. Take away this from the life of a clergyman, and his holy profession serves only to expose him to a greater damnation. Take away this from tradesmen, and shops are but so many houses of greediness and filthy lucre. Take away this from gentlemen, and the course of their life becomes a course of sensuality, pride, and wantonness. Take away this rule from our tables, and all falls into gluttony and drunkenness. Take away this measure from our dress and habits, and all is turned into such paint and glitter and ridiculous ornaments as are a real shame to the wearer. Take away this from the use of our fortunes, and you will find people sparing in nothing but charity. Take away this from our diversions, and you will find no sports too silly, nor any entertainments too vain and corrupt to be the pleasure of Christians. If, therefore, we desire to live unto God, it is necessary to bring our whole life under this law, to make His glory the sole rule and measure of our acting in every employment of life. For there is no other true devotion but this of living devoted to God in the common business of our lives. So that men must not content themselves with the lawfulness of their employments, but must consider whether they use them as they are to use everything as strangers and pilgrims that are baptized into the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that are to follow Him in a wise and heavenly course of life, in the mortification of all worldly desires, and in purifying and preparing their souls for the blessed enjoyment of God. Colossians 3, 1, 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16, Ephesians 5, 26 and 27. For to be vain or proud or covetous or ambitious in the common course of our business is as contrary to these holy tempers of Christianity as cheating and dishonesty. If a glutton was to say in excuse of his gluttony that he only eats such things as it is lawful to eat, he would make as good